The Osborne Brothers performing Lost Highway here at 5:44 on a Wednesday afternoon at WGXC 90.7 FM. The Wednesday afternoon show, I'm your host, Ron Diamonstein, and I'm joined now by Vincent Seeley, the president of the village of Catskill Town Council, I guess is that the official, semi-official way of describing it.
That works.
There's been, I kind of wanted to talk to Vincent because of recent reporting involving the Black Bridge, which crosses Catskill Creek, which has been closed to pedestrian traffic since, I believe, 2010, when it was discovered that there was some structural issues involved while they were trying to repair a sewer line. And then post Irene, I think there was further damage going on. And recent reporting in the Daily Mail, which I kind of noted last week while doing the news, seemed to reflect a little bit of confusion. What about the cost of repair or replacement or demolition of the bridge? Because in spite of there being a guarantee, or at least I understood to be some sort of guarantee from FEMA for coverage of up to 75% in restoration work. And, well, you know, there's issues here, and there were some competing questions in the comments of this article, and I was a little confused. So I figured, why not go to a respect source, Vincent Seeley. Thank you for joining us here.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Okay, so there was an editorial, I think, actually just yesterday even, talking about, what about the bridge? The Daily Mail, another strategy change for fixing the Black Bridge. Somehow we get the feeling that this job isn't going to be as easy as it sounds. Is that, in fact, the truth?
That is the truth. This is, you know, one of the hardest decisions we're going to make this year, not just because of the dollar amount, but now you're throwing in the history component. And you're throwing in the, you know, in 15 years from now, are we going to look back on this and say we made the right decision? And along the way, some people may not agree with it, but we're going to have to feel good about that in 15 years. We did the right thing.
Right. So let's start. Can you break down this budgeting process for the Black Bridge repair job?
Yep.
With the competing numbers that I was trying to draw out from the different reporting, numbers like $1.9 million and $500,000 limit, and can you try to explain what this is?
Yep. If you don't mind, can I step back one?
Yes.
Can I step back just a bit to talk a little bit about the bridge itself?
Yes.
You know, one of the things that over the past 9 years, and I'll even bring it up sooner and say over the past 3 to 4 years, we've tried for grants. Part of that bridge is that we were going to do a walking tour, and it was going to be tied in with a boardwalk. There were a lot of things that we submitted to. You know, don't quote me on the exact grant people we sent it to, but it was a state historic, this one and that one. And we got declined over and over. We're turned down for grants. And sometimes we asked for 50 grand, sometimes we asked for, you know, 50 million. We were trying to get whatever we could because we wanted to put the work in the bridge, knowing that we were going to come to the day when the bridge was going to need significant repair. So speeding up to today, we got to that point where the bridge had so much structural insecurity. I don't even want to say damage, just it got to be so insecure that we closed it to pedestrian traffic. Now, as you've read, that bridge holds a gas line. Now, that gas line only hold the pressure on that gas line is equal to when you turn on your stove, the pressure that comes out of there, that's about what it is. It's not like it's going to explode the whole village if it breaks. It's going to be just a trickle. That supplies less than 10 homes on the other side of the bridge. So I think the actual number is 4, but I'm going to say 10 just to be safe. There's all right. About 10 homes that it stores. Our water line that goes across the bridge is what we call a summer line or an equalization line, and I don't know if that's the right engineering term, but basically we use that to equalize. It's shut off in the winter. Because as you can tell, it's up high, it would just freeze. So that's shut off in the winter. So the only major piece of infrastructure that I currently am worried about today is the sewer line that goes across that bridge. And that is the only place that our sewer line goes across the Catskill Creek and connects the east and the west side of the village. Okay. So that's kind of that puts a framework around what that bridge is today. So
right.
Now, from an infrastructure standpoint, the sewer line has to be fixed. I'm being told by engineers and by professionals that there is a high risk that if we have significant water flow and ice jamming, so on and so forth, in the spring, that the bridge could come down. I'm not so sure I'm 100% on board for that, but I'm not an engineer, so I have to kind of trust the experts. And everybody, all your listeners can understand, somebody comes in and says, if you don't fix this, your house is going to burn down. You don't really want to take the chance of calling them out. So going to the dollars. So originally, we had worked with Greene County, and we had a couple estimates come in the $3 million range to completely redo the bridge. And that's everything. Take the old paint off, put new paint on, make it fancy. And then some people were putting in some, you know, an artistic component to it, and so on and so forth. But it was about a $3 million effort. At a certain point after that, you know, we couldn't afford $3 million. I can tell you that right now. It's not going to happen. So at a certain point after that, we started to take a look at, okay, well, what do we need to do to the bridge to make it safe, to make it passable? So then we started taking that $3 million and carving it down. So at one point, we ended up at $1.6 million to fix the bridge so people could walk over it and our infrastructure was safe.
Right. Okay, just bare minimum.
Bare minimum. Just keeping it bare minimum. Not nothing fancy, just keeping it going. Well, in the meantime, we've had our friend Irene come through, and you can see the pictures. There's no denying it. There is damage to the bridge. So immediately we jumped into a mode of saying, okay, now we not only want to make this safe for people, we have to make sure that it doesn't fall down and we lose the infrastructure off of there.
Right.
So that's where it came to the point when we pulled some folks together. Pulled the county together and pulled we met with three competing contractors, met with them at the site of the bridge, and they were pointing and poking and talking about, you know, how to get down there and all that fun stuff. And those estimates came back in, and they were somewhere, the highest, I believe, was 900 and the lowest was 760, give or take, you know, 50, 60 grand. And they all had different provisions in them. You have to understand, in order to get to the piers, you either have to bring a barge up the river and work off the barge,
okay,
or you have to build a road from the side of the river to there to get the heavy equipment in there.
Right.
And you could imagine that the Environmental Conservation was not very interested in us building a road in the creek.
Right.
So we're probably going to get pushed more towards this barge coming
idea.
Up.
Right.
So in my world, I've been doing this for 9 years now, I always know to ask certain questions because you get drawn down these roads of, well, it's going to cost $760 if we don't do this, or it's going to cost $500 if we – so you always focus on the if-then-else statements that folks make. In traveling down that road, we simply asked a question to our department superintendent, Louis O'Connor, and said, how else can we get across the creek? Quite frankly, are there better ways to do this? And thinking of the 15-year plan, 100-year plan, are there better ways to get across the creek? And one of the things that came up that we had talked about a long time in the past was boring underneath the creek. So we just, from a business perspective, sat down with a pencil and a piece of paper and a calculator and a, you know, Excel spreadsheet and laid out some of the possibilities and costs and future ramifications of that.
With that, and now this would be the sewer line, the gas line, and the summer water line. All three would be bored together.
Nope. We would only do the sewer line and the water line. The gas line is not ours. The gas line is Central Hudson Gas Line. So basically, we would be evicting them from the bridge, saying, we love you.
Fend for yourself.
We love you, but you're on your own. Now, what they would do is, you know, that would be on their own. They could bore under the creek somewhere else. They could work out a deal with us and be part of that same fun, boring day we have.
It potentially, couldn't that also ameliorate the cost somewhat if they assisted?
Exactly. And you know, I'm of the school of boil it down to the simplest variable. And if they want in, rock and roll. If they don't, we got to move on. We can't wait around for them to make a decision. We have a situation. So that's where we ended up with, okay, then let's get serious and let's start getting some quotes about boring under the creek. So those of your viewers that are familiar with Catskill, we have the old Uncle Sam Bridge over here, and I'm pointing that no one can see, but we have the Uncle Sam Bridge, and right past there, there's a Henderson's Monuments, there's the county building. Well, right in that area there is where the bore would start, and it would end up on the other side over on just by Dunn's, what used to be Dunn's for us. So it would be that one street up right there. We'd come up there, and then we'd tie it right into our sewer system right there.
Okay.
What we would do, the line that would be bored through the creek would be, we haven't got the engineering back yet on it, so I'm kind of giving you my best guesstimate of the sizes of these pipes. So it would be an 18-inch pipe, but then they would sleeve it with a 12-inch pipe or 14 or whatever it is, so that if something happens, I'm being told you pull the old one out
and you can just slide,
slide a new one back in there. Or if there are other things you needed to do to inspect it, there's some of that room there to do that. So that came in, you know, and that's without having a whole lot of estimates come back. That's just kind of a swag estimate on it. It came back in at around, I think it was $400,000, you know. And again, I always do the if then else. You know, if we run into bedrock, then we got to do this, or if we do this and we got to get this permit. One of the other options that we thought about and went for was to actually put some of the pipes across the Uncle Sam Bridge. Why can't we just strap it onto the bridge? I'm oversimplifying it, but basically strap it onto the bridge. And, you know, we still feel that we have the same risk that we have today with the Black Bridge of it being exposed, number one, being exposed, and number two, it now is on a state bridge that we don't own, so basically they would wind up having control over it.
Okay. So that explains that part of this, yep. I think, like, fairly well. But the issues that I was trying to understand is even – does the FEMA guarantee – is that still in effect?
No.
FEMA would not cover any aspect of this sewer thing. Was the guarantee only for repair and replacement of the bridge itself?
So let's be clear. I have no piece of paper sitting in front of me that guarantees anything for any bridge for anywhere. So it's all, hey, we're pretty confident.
My mouth is open,
yep.
Actually.
it always has been, Mr. Seeley, we're pretty confident that this will be covered. Mr. Seeley, we're pretty confident that if we present this, it'll be covered.
There have never been any actual documentation.
I have no document sitting with me in my pocket or in my desk that says FEMA will cover 71%, 20%. I have no document that says that. We have a lot of talk. We've had a lot of meetings, but I have nothing that's been a final determination that we will give you X percent up to a certain amount.
Yeah, okay.
I don't have anything more to say than that. That's exactly it. I don't have a firm document that says that.
Okay, so that actually then skews the aspects of this conversation in another direction entirely, because the reporting and some of these other conversations in the comment sections of the reporting of the Daily Mail was very much about, you know, well, why can't the village board get something right and they're 75% guaranteed and blah, 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 and a priceless bit of Catskill history could be lost forever, which in fact, of course, is perhaps an insurmountable truth. I mean, this is the only surviving bit of the railway. And I find it very – ironic is not the word actually appropriately, but I'm going to use it in its misuse sense, that coming on the heels of the success of the High Line in New York City and the walking bridge in Poughkeepsie is that, you know, even though this is obviously on a much smaller scale, that that there's an opportunity to kind of make some kind of, you know, artistic historical statement that can tie the community into its past and look into the future could be lost. I mean that's just, that would be really, really tragic. As we do have to wind down, I think we're really, I hope that you can come back. I would like really to perhaps devote a very large segment to this issue. And I think,
I'd be happy to come back.
All right, we should reach out to a number of other sources and see if we can even establish some kind of round table sort of thing to discuss this. So at the moment, just to leave it, there's no money at all in terms to stabilize the bridge. So what you're looking for, what the village seems to be, the path it's going down is salvage the absolute necessity of the sewer line and do something with that, and the bridge would have to fend for itself.
Correct.
So one last thing, though, about this. Demolition and or if it gets, you know, further damage, that too comes at a financial cost. Who picks up the tab for that?
I agree. These are all things that we've thought about, and these are all things that we're going to have to address. Don't forget, my last comment is going to be there's 1,600 taxpayers in the village of Catskill. For them to bear the brunt of all this work is a lot. It's simple math.
And real quick, you should just talk about the either upcoming business summit meeting that isn't happening tomorrow night. But
we'll So to the listener, so I apologize. There was a business summit meeting scheduled for tomorrow night at the high school. It's canceled. I have a personal item I need to take care of tomorrow night, but we will reschedule because we are looking for some feedback from folks. Thank you.
Great. Thank you.
Okay. Vincent Seeley, thank you for joining us. And I definitely expect this is not going to be the last
good
talk about this, and I think it's for good reason. I mean, this is really part of Catskill's past and very much part of its present, and hopefully, though, it'll be part of the future. But thank you so much for taking the time.